Dear Heavenly Father, I publicly declare today, Lord, that I can do all things through you who gives me strength. I pray, Father God, that you use me, speak through me today, Lord. May I be your mouthpiece, Lord Jesus. May it be your words, not mine. May your Holy Spirit lead me. And may the word be spoken in power and truth. May it be a word in time and season for me and all those hearing it today. Thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful like a two-edged sword. And may it just cut through today where needed. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, last week, if you were hearing Philip preach, part of his preaching mentioned around the sort of two camps of people. So there's either a camp who are following God, sold out for Jesus, or there's another camp who are living in disobedience, who are ultimately serving Satan. There's no areas of grey in between. You're either serving God as a Christian, you've committed your life to him, you've acknowledged that he is your heavenly Father, acknowledged that you're a sinner, and he welcomes you into his arms, into his family, or you've chosen not to. Either you haven't heard that message before, or you've had your fingers in your ears when you're listening to it, you just don't want to accept it, but there's no in between. And my prayer is that you're in the camp belonging to Jesus, and if you're not, pray that God speaks to you and accept it. Once you choose that to be belonging to Christ, Philip was also saying that you belong to a narrow path. So the world's camp is a sort of broad way. You can do whatever you want, fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And the world will teach you it's a great place to be. But it doesn't give you peace, and it leads to destruction. But following Jesus has its costs. And it's hard. It's running a race. It's a narrow path. But praise God, if you're on that path, you don't have to do it in your own strength. He gives us his Holy Spirit to lead us down that path. It's almost like if you're driving a car and you've got a diesel car and you put petrol in it, like some wally like me did once, your car's not going to get very far. And it's like walking on the narrow path. If you're trying to do it in your own strength, you're not going to get very far. Your car journey is going to lead to destruction. But if you walk in the Holy Spirit down that path, there's going to be fruit of it. Amen. And one of the sort of key calls we've been singing about today is walking on that path is faith. Living in faith. Now you see the board over here talks about love in action. And today I'm going to be preaching about faith in action. Christian walk is about doing, not just saying. You can meet the best scholars who tell you everything about the Bible. And they'll have lots of theories about it. But if they're not applying it in their lives, and it's just empty words. And God wants us to be doers of his word, not hearers of it, just hearers of word. Amen? Pray that you become a doer of his word. Not just part of it, not just a few chapters, but all of it. And God commands us to be faithful, walking in faith. And we're justified by faith. In Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, least should anyone boast." So that doesn't. What that means is, when you become part of God's family, it's not through works, it's not by being the best person in the world, because that's not going to get you very far. It's by the gift of faith. And living in faith in Jesus, again, is not something which can be manufactured. You know, if you're going to a court, if you're at work or you're at school and you need to brush up on something, you'll go on a training course and they'll teach you about it and you'll improve on it and you'll hopefully get better. But Christian faith's not like that. You can't just sort of positive thinking, "Oh, I'm going to be really faithful today," because you're not going to get very faithful very far at all. It's been led by the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians it says one of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. So if you're living in God, walking in his ways, striving, as we heard last week, then that faith, God will supernaturally give us that faith. Amen. Hebrews 11, again, Philip touched on this last week, is a incredible chapter, a testimony of God's faithfulness. to his brethren and their faith to him. And in the NIV, that passage of the word is called faith in action. And I'm not going to read it all, but I encourage you to read it. But it's just it's such a great uplifting book. And these people who they're referring to are just ordinary men and women of God, just like you and me. You know, I always say that. People who read on about their lives in the Bible weren't superhumans. They were just ordinary men or women who drew their strength from God. So just like you and I, we can do that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. It's the Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had his testimony that he was pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which would receive his inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with the same promise. For he waited for the city which was the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself was also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Too many as the sand which is in the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. That's having the heavenly perspective, that is. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they call to mind that country from which they come out, they would have the opportunity to return. But now they desire better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from dead, from which he also received him as a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave concerning his bones. And it goes on to talk about the faith of Moses, all the other great men and women of God. But today I just want to just zone in on Abraham and Isaac. It's a great account of God's faithfulness and a testimony of when someone really trusts in the will of God. So if we turn to Genesis, I'm going to start off in Genesis chapter 12. Now, it's important to just remember that when we read this account and we learn about Abraham and his faithfulness, it started off with God's promise, God's will for Abraham. When he was tested, challenged, he drew on God's promise, God's will. And we hear God reminding him of his promise and will time and time again. And I think it took a little while for it to sink in Abraham's heart and actually lean and trust him. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And in verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. So God has given Abraham this promise that he's going to have a large nation of descendants. In other words, to have a descendant, he's going to have a family. Okay? In chapter 13, verses 14 to 17, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward and westward, for all the land which you'll see I'll give to you and your descendants forever. It's talking about his descendants. It's talking about his offspring. Okay? In chapter 15, verses 1 to 17, again he reminds him of his promises, and he gives his covenant with Abraham. And in verses 4, I'm going to read just verses 1 to 4. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? But Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one will come from your own body shall be your heir. Amen. So he's had these promises, and God shared his will to Abraham. And he sends him on his journey, and then Abraham becomes Abraham, and he's walking in trust, basically. But this is why I get encouraged by reading the God and talk about these people aren't being superhumans some of the time. Because before we actually get to Abraham putting his faith in real action, I just want to give you a couple of examples where Abraham didn't show a lot of faith. He hadn't really gotten hold of the promises that God was declaring to him. There was two accounts when Abraham was on his journeys and he went to different places. He was with his wife. The word says his wife was of beautiful nature to look at. And the first account in chapter 12, verses 10 to 17, they go to Egypt because there was a famine, and they come across Pharaoh, and he says to his wife, I'm going to pretend you're my sister. So he's saying, he's going to this and telling a lie. He was declaring his own wife was his sister. Imagine how she felt. I'm your wife. No, you're going to be my sister. He sent his wife into Pharaoh's palace or house, or great house, wherever it was, with the knowledge that Pharaoh was going to probably try and take her as his own. But God overruled. And it came to light that Pharaoh said, why have you done this to me? You've lied. And it transpired that Sarah was his wife, not his sister. And later on, when they go in chapter 20, we read, he did it again. Abraham and Abimelech. And he goes, he told Abimelech that it was his sister. And he said, why did you do this to me? And he goes, I didn't think you had the fear of the God, so I didn't know what you were going to do to me. And again, God intervened and stopped him, and Abimelech was honourable. But again, it showed his lack of faith in God, didn't it? Here's this man who's he's communing with God, he's talking to him, he's fellowshipping, he's a friend of God, but he let God down twice. Later on, Abraham compromised again. He thought his seed, this promise God was giving him, was going to be delivered through Ishmael. So when his wife was longing for a baby, she used a mistress, Hagar, to conceive, and she was going to take that child. And later on we read the account where chapter 17, verses 15 to 17. Chapter 17, 15 to 17. This is God telling him his covenant again and his promises. And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I'll bless her and also give a son by her. And I'll bless her and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael lived before you." So in Abraham's mind, he thought he knew God's plans. He said, "Actually, I've come to accept all descendants, and I know what, Ishmael will be the heir of this descendancy." But what did God say? "No. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I've blessed him, and I'll make him fruitful, and multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I shall make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year." So Abraham was sort of trusting in his own sort of wisdom and thinking, actually, okay, I can see how this is planning out. God is really insisting that I'm going to have his descendants, Ishmael. But no, God said, no, my will be done. It's going to be Isaac through Sarah. God can do the impossible. And God did the impossible. Sarah had Isaac. And this is where we come to chapter 22, faith in action, or Abraham's faith confirmed. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said to the young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and knife, and the two of them went off together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two went off together. They came to the place where God told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took up the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay a hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that the fear of God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted the eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this, not withheld your son, your only son, a blessing I will bless you, and multiply I will multiply your descendants as stars of the heaven and the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of the enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to the young men, and they rose, went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Amen. So here you see transformed man, where he's probably his prized possession before Isaac was probably his wife, you know, Sarai and Sarah. And when it came to the crunch where he was tested, he let God down. He wasn't faithful, and he tried to do it in his own ways. He tried to fix the situation, which he felt impossible, by lying and pretending that Sarah was his sister. And then when he had this boy, imagine the joy and the just the gratefulness of receiving that child for Sarah and Abraham. They were longing for it. He knew she was longing for it. So this boy must have been treasure to them. And then here he is, told to go and sacrifice him. But what I really like, and when we studied this chapter in our Connect group a few weeks back, and it was pointed out to me, and it went, wow, yes. When the young men said, he said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I'll come back and worship, and we will come back to you. Now, Abraham was very good at bluffing, or he had absolute faith. And I don't believe he was bluffing there. I believe he knew God would overrule. If he was bluffing and fearful, he would have resorted to type and tried to done something in his own strength. He would have smuggled in a lamb on his back or something. He knew God was going to save his son. And he said, we will come back to you. And when his son asks him what's happening, God will provide the sacrifice. Here we have an example where true faith was leading Abraham. He was leaning on the faith. It wasn't man-made. It wasn't his flesh he was leaning on or trusting on. He was trusting on God. And with faith becomes obedience. With when the Lord was reaffirming his blessing, he said, because of your obedience, I'm going to do this. So when we've been walking on God, walking that narrow path as we talked about, God wants us to be obedient. Trust in him. Proverbs says, lean not only on your understanding, trust in the Lord. He will make your path straight. So I'm encouraging you today, whatever trial you're going through, whatever situation, do what Abraham did and draw on his purpose, God's purpose and will for you. If you've never asked God for his purpose and will for you, ask him. We all share a collective promise and will that one day we're going to go and reign with God in glory. That we've got salvation. If we accepted him, we've got salvation. And we don't have to worry about the future. That's our collective promise. But he's designed you, created you. The psalmist says, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. If he's done that, he's got a purpose and a plan for you. Ask him if you've never asked him. Or if you've asked him and you've forgotten, ask him again. He will speak to you. And the way he does that is through the word of God. The word of God will speak to you about a situation. Yes, God can speak to you through dreams, and you can reaffirm it for a brother or sister, but use the word of God to lead you. He is a lamp onto our feet. The minute you lose sight of the word of God, the minute this light diminishes, you're walking around in the dark. You walk around in the dark, you can't get very far, you bang your head, you walk into the wall. This is why you need a light. And this is the light. And if you're using the light, it will give you that blessed assurance, whatever you're going through, and it will supernaturally give you that faith, just like it did to Abraham. And please, when you read that account, just don't think, oh, well, I've probably done the same. He must have been, in the flesh, without God, he would have been petrified walking up that mountain. Imagine what Sarah's going to say. Marriage is finished. But no, he was walking in faith. Faith in action. Not faith in words, faith in action. God wants us to be hearers of his word, but doers of his word. Amen. And God is so gracious, isn't he? He was gracious to forgive Abraham when he denied. He basically denied him twice, didn't he? We heard again last week about Peter denied Christ, his friend, his father, heavenly father, three times. Even though he said he wouldn't. You're going to deny me? No, I'm not. He did three times. But God, before he went back to heaven, ascended, he re-established that relationship. He forgave Peter. So if you've walked out of purpose, God's purpose, if you've disobeyed him, ask for forgiveness. Jonah's another good example where he ran away and God said, no, you're going to fulfill my purpose. in a whale, swallowed him up. And when he got on his hands and knees and asked for forgiveness, repented, he spat him out of the whale and said, go do my business. So seek God's forgiveness, repentance, if you stepped away from his will or purpose. Sometimes there are consequences when we disobey God. You know, I was reminded of David and Bathsheba when he saw Bathsheba, lustfully wanted her, sent her husband off to the front line, knowing he's going to get killed. And then, as a result, consequence, that child died. That was the consequence of the sin. But again, praise God, David repented. He declared his sin to Nathan, and he repented, and God made him whole again. Carried on that narrow path. We are sinners. Doesn't mean to go, well, I'm going to go willfully sin now. God will forgive me. No. Do never do that, please. But if you do slip up, seek repentance and do not get condemnation from the devil. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And as I said, the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is faithfulness. If you're walking the Spirit daily, that faith will supernaturally kick in. When you are faced by a trial, you are faced by a difficult situation, when you're saying, God, I'm sure you promised me this. It's not happened yet. Where are you? Psalm 77, we read it last week. Where are you, God? When he drew on God's strength, the situation changed. Remain in his presence. Amen. If your faith is low today, Matthew 7, Colin uses it a lot. Ask, seek, knock. The disciples said, give us faith. If your faith is low today, say, God, be honest, my faith is low today. Please fill me up. And what happens is, when you go through trials and tribulations, what normally happens is, you come out stronger, your faith gets increased. So sometimes he allows it to happen. He molds you, prunes you, bashes you like metal, and you come out stronger. But ask God today if your faith is low. And I believe he'll honour that prayer. Let's read Matthew 7, 7 to 12. And this is the same prayer if it applies if you've never been fully baptized by the power of his Holy Spirit. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, it'll be given open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it'll be opened. For what man there is among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if you ask for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want to do, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Now, this piece of scripture has been sort of taken out of context and say, oh, God, give me a Ferrari, please, and you get sort of wacky teachings. But if you ask for the things which pleases God, God, help me to walk in your ways. Help me to be full of your Holy Spirit. Fill me in faith. What Heavenly Father is not going to honour those prayers? Pray for those things. And to conclude, as I mentioned, in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What is the light under your feet today? Are you trying to just make it a light yourself, or are you using the word of God to direct your paths? Be like Abraham, not the first time where he let God down twice, where he trusted, and even when he was getting closer to understanding God's purposes and plans, he said, actually, Ishmael, no. Isaac will be the heir. And when he was told that, he was then told, go and kill him. The old Abraham would have said, no. He just obeyed him. Didn't even say anything to God. He said, obey. He said, I'll go and tell you where you're going to, which part of the mountain. Whereabouts? I'll tell you. And he obeyed and listened. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that those who call out your name will be saved. And when we are saved, we belong to your heavenly family. And Father God, as we belong to your family, as we walk on the narrow path you set out for us on our pilgrimage on this earth, I pray for each one listening today, myself included, will not try and walk that narrow path in their own strength, not try and do it in their own knowledge, but draw on your strength, be led by your Holy Spirit, have demonstrable fruit of the Holy Spirit, have strong faith to walk the path, Lord. We thank you that each one of us, you've given a purpose and a will, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, when we sometimes try and do U-turns and walk away from your plans, try and shirt it, try and do it in our own strength, try and convince you it's the wrong thing. Forgive us when we've disobeyed your will. But thank you, Lord, that you are a gracious, forgiving God, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you just, when we repent, say sorry, you wipe the slate clean. Clean. Blameless without a spot. And Lord, as we seek your will, we may have to search diligently for it, Lord, and you provide it, Lord, through your word. And I pray, Lord, you give us all that supernatural power to walk according to your plans and purpose for each one of us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that when we do, we can be salt and light in this dark world. We can demonstrate your love, your power by becoming overcomers in Christ. Pray for each one, Lord. They just know your plans. Have that strong faith in you like Abraham did, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you freely want to give it us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.